Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today's topic is how our emotions control us. And the reason we're going to discuss this topic today is because the stress that we're under due to where the economy is and the loss of jobs has created a lot of stress that people are under. And if you understand where you come from, why you respond to different situations in the way you are, then you can better learn how to control your emotions or how to respond in a way that also helps you to learn to grow at a pace that will help you to live and be in what we consider a normal life. Normal is subject to descriptions of different things, but it's basically what people talk about when they talk about those different situations. So our emotions control who we are and how we view our environment, the stress we feel, how we handle the stress, and how we deal with other people around us also affects how we deal and handle stress. When we struggle financially or lose a job, it creates more stress. Understanding how to communicate helps reduce the stress that you are under. And originally, what Inscape did, or when it was first called Performax, they basically took the writings of William Marston and his Emotions of Normal People to explain different behavior patterns. And I would like to go through and maybe give you a little bit of a description of what he called normalcy and emotion. Are you a normal person? Probably for the most part you are. Doubtless, however, you have occasional misgivings. On the other hand, you undoubtedly experience milder fears, furies, petty jealousies, minor hatreds, and occasional feelings of trickery and deception, which you have come to regard as part of your normal self. And psychology aids and abets you in this emotion also. In fact, many psychologists at the present time frankly regard fear and rage not only as normal emotions, but even as the major emotions. Now, a lot of these writings were written in the 20th century or the early part of the 20th century, so how psychologists view us today and how we view ourselves and how we express it is very different because things change. But the idea is that this is the basis of how a lot of feelings and emotions were expressed during those times, and also helps you understand why you reacted in different situations. If, as psychologists, we follow the analogy of the other biological sciences, we must expect to find normalcy synonymous with maximum efficiency of function. Survival of the fittest means survival of those members of a species whose organisms most successfully resist the encroachments of environmental antagonists and continue to function with greatest internal harmony. In the field of emotions, then, why should we alter this expectation? Why should we seek to spectacularly harmonious emotions, the feelings that reveal a crushing of ourselves by the environment, and consider these effective responses in our normal emotions? Okay, the reason I read that to you is that in many ways, how we respond to our environment is something that is learned. And we all have different behavior patterns that we have within us that we respond from. And how we handle different situations expresses us. You could see that in the campaign and how they were run, and how different people, different candidates responded to the different situations that they found themselves in, and how they handled it. So as you can see, different situations create different environments. And also, our economy has been going down for over the last 20 years. And a lot of the situations that were created 20 years ago helped lead us into the situation that we are today. But many people didn't see it because in the beginning they had financial security and success, and they just had a outlook on life to say everything's going to keep getting better, and they didn't plan for the downturns. If you look at where our economy goes, it goes up and down on a regular basis. But how different people respond also affects how we react in those different situations. For instance, back in the early 90s, Congress decided to pass a law that allowed people to get subprime mortgages. That meant that someone who didn't have the income or the qualifications to purchase a home could purchase a home. And at that time, monthly mortgages were at the same rate that you were paying for rent in an apartment. So it only seemed natural to grab it. Why not own it? But when you purchased subprime mortgages, what you were doing was, in essence, buying interest-only loans, so you were only paying the interest on the loan. You were not even reducing the money that you owed for the home. So in essence, you were just trading rent in a place that you were renting for a home that you were in essence renting, because you are allowed to pay interest only for so many years, and then you were expected to have a balloon payment come due. And many people assumed that the first home they bought was going to be their starter home, and then as the family grew, they would go to a much more high-end, larger home. But what happened was you had a lot of these builders come in, and they decide, well, we're going to build these little mini mansions or three-story homes. And they started also building condos. Condos were driven at one time because a lot of corporations, instead of when they had meetings putting people up in hotels, decided to buy the condos. Why they bought the condos? Because when they were not in use, it allowed them to have a tax write-off as a loophole for having something that they owned that they were not living in or in not in use, even though they were making payments on it at the time. And then when they had their meetings, it would allow them to have a place to put someone up. What has happened in the last few years is that companies have decided they want to lease out those condos on a regular basis. So they're trying to get anywhere from $400 to $500, even $600 a week just to have someone come in from out of town and stay in a condo rather than staying in a hotel room. Entertainers have also, because they travel a lot and they go into different cities, have purchased condos in those cities, so they have a home to go to rather than just staying in a hotel as they used to do years ago. It also gives them a lot more privacy. And why we're talking about this and how this relates to the environment is what goes on in the environment affects us and determines the stress that we are under. For many people with the loss of the job market, they are not learning to think alternatively and outside of the box and say, if I don't have what I'm doing right now, what can I do to create an income for myself? What is happening in the economy now? What kind of marketplace are we living in? And the answer to that is We are now living in a global marketplace. The reason I say that is that almost every business has a website. And on that website, almost anyone from any part of the world can go on the internet and access that website, and they can purchase your products. So even though you're living in a time when things are tough, you need to think of what other ways that I can reduce the stress that I'm under, and what things can I do, or what talents do I have that I can utilize to create employment for myself if I can't find gainful employment. And yes, it's harder, but being able to sell yourself is an important part of getting another job or having a good resume in place. The thing is that back in the 90s, when a lot of companies were letting go of their middle managers and their upper managers, many of them were in the computer field. So many of them, because it was also moving into the millennium age when we were going into the new century, and people were thinking into excuse me, in terms of what would happen with our computers when we moved into the new millennium, and how would it create havoc with our computers in the change of the century. And a lot of the computer people who worked with different companies that were being laid off, then they became the experts, and they were marketing themselves at high prices. And it was also the era of the dot-com, what they called the dot-com era. And what that meant is that you found a lot of companies that did not have a physical place of business that was selling their wares on the internet. And they were also inflating those prices at that time, trying to take advantage of the fact that it was a new marketing tool for companies to use, but they were not always taken into effect of what was going to be the long-term effect on other people down the line. Now, a lot of those dot-coms also went out of business because it was an inflated marketplace, and they really didn't have the basis or the money upon which to sustain themselves in the meantime, so that once the lean time came and their products were no longer needed, then it was a situation where there was a lot of people going out of business, and then that created an influx into the job market. And companies were also cutting back, and they were outsourcing into other countries. Mainly, and part of that happened because a lot of these companies had unions in them, and the union would just keep increasing and increasing the price that they wanted their members to be making, and they got to a point where they outpriced the job market. So companies started saying, well, why should I pay you $30 or $40 an hour for a job that I'm when I can go into another country or a poor country or a third world country, and those people would gladly work for a third of the price of what I'm paying you. So that created a vacuum for the job market. So today, because our economy has gone down and because we're also in a global market financially in the way things are managed today, we have to look at other ways to create opportunities for ourselves. And if you utilize the internet as a source of employment, then what is going to happen is a lot of companies who have call centers, instead of having a large building and 10 or 15 phones in that building and the computers in that building and then having to pay for lights and having to pay for the phone lines and paying for everything, what they're doing is they would rather purchase the computers and the phones and supply it to the employee and let them work from home and just utilize software that they can, in essence, take those calls that come into the call centers and put it into the different computers from the home so that the individual works from home. How that benefits you as an individual is that by working at home, you can create flex time for yourself. You can tell the company which days you would rather have off. Instead of saying working Monday through Friday, you may work Wednesday through Sunday, or you may work Thursday through Monday, and that because that would give you a day during the week to be able to have your doctor's appointments or take your children to their activities. And it also creates an opportunity, as you've seen many a times they used to talk about how the highways were congested and how you can take that and reduce that. So by having someone work from home, that has helped reduce a lot of the fact that you notice there's not as many cars on the road. Or, hello? Yes? Can you speak up or speak into the phone so I can hear you? Hello? Hello? Don't know if I got anyone here. I've been having a hard time hearing you, and I think my listeners have also been having a hard time hearing you. Are you speaking into a phone or into a speakerphone?
Potential. So I just wanted to just share that, and I hope that everybody understood it. Okay. Thanks, Val. The lady D has got you all thumbs up in there. Oh, wonderful. We have someone on the line. And we're going to go to the line. All right. You're on Tracy. And good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. This is Dorothy Richardson, and I was called. Tuned in a little bit late this morning, but I tuned in. I was very sad.
I had to cut off the last speaker because I was having a hard time hearing him, and we are down to the last 7 minutes of the show, and what I want to talk about is some ways that you can help reduce some stress in your life and how to create some financial security for yourself. And some of that financial security comes in thinking of how you can think outside of the box. What types of opportunities can you create for yourself? And what this will also allow you to do is find a way to also reduce some of the stress in your life, because we create stress for ourselves and how we handle different situations. So we need to learn better how to make those changes and how to also understand where we're coming from in different situations, what our emotions are in a different situation. Like if you have stress within your family because they don't get along with you, then what you need to do is create some opportunities for yourself to find a way to change the environment that you're living in so that you can help improve your personal strength. And look in ways at how you can create opportunities for yourself or set up a mission for yourself. What are some goals that you can have in life, and how can you help create those opportunities for yourself in those different those situations that you need to be in? And understanding how you communicate also is a good way of reducing the stress in your life. We have people that are very dominant and very controlling in situations that they have to be. They're good managers, but they're not good listeners in different situations, so they need to learn how to listen. You'll have someone that's very outgoing and who likes to enjoy meeting new people all the time. They're very good at standing up in front of groups. They're very good at greeting people. You have someone else who's very detail-oriented but likes to be very laid back. And understanding your natural behavioral style also helps reduce the stress that you are under in those different situations. So what can you do to help yourself to reduce the stress that you're under in those situations? And how can you improve your outlook on life? Also, you not only have someone that can be very laid back, but you also have and detail oriented, but you can also have someone who really just likes to see the question everything that you do and how they view the environment. They're so detail oriented that every question has to be answered right. Everything has to be dotted. They go strictly by the book. And then you have someone who is very steady in how they handle things, and they can take the different groups and make them all work together and deal with different situations. And that also helps you to reduce stress. In the workplace, when you have a group and you have two dominant people wanting to control what's happening in the group, then what happens is it creates conflict. And by understanding where you're coming from and why you respond in those different situations, then it's going to create a very difficult environment for the people around you to live in. So what can you do to help reduce the stress? Think about it. If you are in the process of losing a job and it's creating stress for you, what are the skills that you have that you feel that you can take and make an income from? That may be something that you really need to look at and create an opportunity for yourself. And it also helps you reduce the stress, because when you're doing something that you really enjoy doing, then you're going to do that whether you're paid for it or not. And there are many things that we do. What's happened is, because of the environment that we're living in, jobs that teenagers used to have are now going to adults who have lost their job. So they're also making much less income than they're used to making, and they still have the same bills to pay, and they still have to buy food. And you're also seeing that because of inflation coming into what is going on in our environment today, that it's that people are having to learn how to stretch that dollar and make it go further. And since we're now coming down to the last 2 minutes of the show, what I want to do is wrap this up and invite you back next week, because next week our show will cover self-confidence and helping, you know, and having your own business. So what I want to do in wrapping this up is talk about some things that you can do to reduce the stress in your life. And if that means if you're having conflict in your family, then if it's your parents that you're having the conflict with and you're an adult, then you need to sit down with them and say, look, we need to find a new way to communicate with each other in such a way that we will reduce the stress that we're under and create more of a harmonious environment. If it's the workplace that you're in and it's creating stress for you because you don't know whether or not you're going to have your job in another month or two, then think of ways that you can maybe, while you're working, find an outlet that brings you in income while you're working so that it gives you a little bit more of a leeway. Today, there are many opportunities by going online and working as an affiliate. And what an affiliate is someone who has a website and a product to sell. Then they will contract with different individuals to help them sell their products and pay you a commission. There are also sites on there that are networking sites that you can go on and join. And if you bring other people to that site, then you get paid for recruiting people, but it's an opportunity to create an income outside of the place you're working, which also allows you to help to create and reduce the stress.